Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And welcome into the Tuesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody is doing well. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at tjandersonhomes.com. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
A little groggy, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, like the default is be like, great, how are you? No, I'm not doing that great. I'm kind of groggy. Sorry. But I do have a sweet Wu-Tang sweatshirt on, so
you do.
We'll get through.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Creed.
It's my favorite piece of clothing I've ever had.
Creed providing another victory for the Texas Rangers last night. They're on quite the winning streak right now. Who use Creed in the locker room.
Yeah, it's a real conflict because I can't. It's hard to root for the Astros, but I think I have to, right? Like, if they get to the next round, they get to the World Series, that's all people are going to be talking about is this Creed crap. Just like Gloria. Just like play Gloria. Can't do it, man. We cannot
have
that.
There's more Creed. It's just beautiful. Nick Keyser, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, you know what? Maybe they should just play them for the national anthem in the World Series, Joe. I think that'd be amazing.
Have Scott Stapp come in there and sing it?
Heck yeah.
That'd be awesome. Would be.
That'd be fine. He can sing the national anthem. I just don't want his crappy songs. I don't want him to sing his own crappy songs. I don't want anybody else to cover his crappy songs.
Well,
if he wants to sing
you, they don't have any intermissions in baseball, so I think we're okay.
That is true. No intermissions. He could play in between the innings, though. You could fit a song in.
Don't give them any more ideas.
Seventh inning stretch.
Yes.
A little.
You imagine
whatever their stupid songs
Scott
are.
Stapp covering Take Me Out to the Ball Game in the seventh inning stretch. just beautiful. We got a lot to get to on the program here today. We'll be joined by Mike Herndon from PaulKuharsky.com at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. The Predators in action tonight at Bridgestone Arena. They're back at home. Taking on the Edmonton Oilers, the winless Edmonton Oilers. So I would imagine you'll see an Edmonton team that's pretty focused tonight. Matthias Ekholm returning to play against the Predators for the first time since he was traded back on February the 28th. So a nice homecoming for Ekholm tonight. I'm sure the crowd will be excited to see him, a very good Nashville Predator in his days here. So looking forward to seeing Ekholm back there tonight. He got back in on Saturday for Edmonton, and he'll be in there tonight. He's looking forward to it.
Yep. And so I'm sure they'll do something nice for him.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I hope so.
As well deserved. He's the guy of all the people who have left. I think we probably miss him from a media perspective probably more than anybody else.
No doubt.
And it's one of those situations where it would be cool at some point to see him win one with them. I think that they could do it this year.
I think
they
could. Even
though they look rough a little bit early here.
They're off to a rough start, and the first game without him in there, they gave up 8. They did not give up 8 when he came back in, so that was good.
So nice improvement. It's like Tyler Tart. You're not in. He's like, wow, the value is really high.
Contract, maybe need to revisit it.
Yeah.
That's what I'd be saying if I was Matthias Ekholm. But looking forward to seeing him back tonight. We'll have another edition of Preds Pick to Click today coming up at 8:45. See if Rex Road can keep his hot streak going, 2-for-2. To begin the season. So we'll get to that a little bit later in the program. We begin on the Tennessee Titans. Mike Vrabel with his press conference yesterday, coming back from London. Obviously, they touched on a variety of different issues yesterday at the press conference, with this week being the bye week. None more so than the quarterback. And Vrabel was asked about Tannehill, what his status could look like yesterday, and what the plan could be if Tannehill can't go. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say over at Ascension St. Thomas Sports Park.
Had the MRI exam on Ryan. How's things looking with his ankle?
Similar to where they were last year, so we'll see how it goes. We've got some time here for our next game, and Ryan will get treat round the clock, and this will be a big week to see how he progresses, and then we'll make a decision on his availability next week and what we do then.
So that was Vrabel yesterday at the press conference discussing Tannehill, and of course the follow-up to that is, well, if Tannehill can't go, what's your plan at quarterback? Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say on that front.
If he's not available, is it maybe time to take a look at Will?
It'll be one of those two guys if Ryan can't go. I don't know who that would be yet. We'll see how they continue to practice. You know, it'll be good to get them some work this week, maybe from with some guys that they haven't necessarily worked with. You know, they've been working on the show team during the season. You know, so I'm excited to get both those guys some reps with, you know, with some of our offensive guys and see how they handle that.
So Vrabel not committing to who would play for the Titans, which is not a surprise to me at all that he would not commit to that if Tannehill can't go. Also said if Tannehill could play, that Tannehill's going to be the starting quarterback for the Titans, which is also not necessarily a surprise at this point. Jeremy Fowler put it out there last night, not that this is any sort of surprise, that Ryan Tannehill is dealing with another high ankle sprain. So I figured when he was on crutches the other day and he basically said it was the same thing he was dealing with last year, that you're talking about a high ankle sprain, but that confirmed last night by Jeremy Fowler.
Yep, with TD. Yep. And, I mean, I guess Vrabel kind of confirmed it there, too, although it was a little confusing, because then he was asked, someone asked him, like, so the first or second, and I guess he said the first, which I did, honestly didn't even, the first one last year, remember he got hurt the ankle.
Yep.
I guess I thought it was just a high ankle all along, but maybe it was normal ankle, then high ankle second, but this is high ankle, so let's get confusing as hell. So, you know, that means that, one, Dr. Chow was right. Again,
yep.
I'm just saying. It seems like he's usually – he has a decent idea what's going on. And to me, there's no way Tannehill plays in the next game. I would say it's probably a good chance he misses a couple games. At least, and then like we had the whole conversation yesterday. So then, wherever you are, then you know, do you go back to him at any point? I mean, Vrabel very clearly said yesterday he's the quarterback, and I have no doubt that if there was no injury, Tannehill would start in the next game. And honestly, at 2-4, I wouldn't question that.
No,
I mean they're trying to win. They're 2-4. They're not 0-8, but he's not going to play, and. He's not going to play the next game. Even if he like somehow were able to like get to that point where like, I could go, that would be a bad. Like you can't let him go, you know.
Well,
until he's healthy.
I think there's always a risk of your quarterback getting hurt when he's not. There's no doubt about it. Even if he can play in a couple of weeks, he's not going to be able to move. Like he's not going to be able to run around. And behind that offensive line right now, is that what you want? Is Ryan Tannehill unable to move in the pocket? That
right.
is not what I would want.
No, exactly. So it's going to be one of those two. And as we talked about yesterday, wrote it today in The Athletic, you know, it should be Levis. I kind of took Vrabel, you know, Vrabel right there as he answered clearly yesterday on Tannehill. He answered clearly on QB1. Yeah, Ryan's quarterback. He could have answered clearly, well, Malik's the backup quarterback.
He could have.
He did not answer that way, which I think – kind of hints at what I think will happen. I think it will be Levis, but we'll see. You know, we had a good conversation in the press room yesterday. Glennon's like, why? Why would it be him? What has he done to pass Malik Willis? I'm like, well, I hear what you're saying, but sometimes people lose their spots for their own performance. For example, Andre Dillard is no longer the left tackle right now, right?
Right.
I'm like, so that's part of the equation too. Ultimately, the way Vrabel talked about it yesterday, and then we talked to Charles London too, the QB coach, is like they kind of look at them as, you know, QB2A, QB2B, you know? I mean, that's basically what it is. So I think it will be Will Levis.
Other things Vrabel touched on yesterday, obviously the left tackle position with Dillard being put on the bench on Sunday and Nicholas Petitfrere coming in. He talked about Petitfrere's willingness to come in and play the position and move the pile a little bit. People like Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line, a little upset with his comments on the offensive line. He said the offensive line was fine. Wow, are we talking about the same one that got Tannehill injured? This is from Dustin from Hopkinsville on the text line. A lot of Titans fans upset with Vrabel's comments on the offensive line part of it yesterday.
Yeah, well, and I think we'll get to that later too. You know, Caroline Fenton was there and asked specifically that question.
Yep.
Interesting comments from Vrabel on that, which I think maybe it may have been a little bit misconstrued, but still, yeah. I mean, I don't think everything's fine either. He disagreed. Well, we'll get into it later, but you know, he had a few things that I think ticked people off, but for the most part, it was a pretty. I mean, he did kind of raise his hand and take blame for the punt, botched punt.
Yeah.
Said he should have transitioned faster to yeah, I guess to communicating something. But, you know, I would also say to that, then, I mean, that Craig Aukerman could have done that, right? Could have communicated.
Oh, let's get going on Craig Aukerman.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to introduce that, and I'm sure there's enough of that over many, many
hours.
Well,
it's,
on
you know,
show.
I had not heard much about Craig Aukerman so far this year until yesterday. Started to hear a little bit more about Craig Aukerman.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, the thing is, we get on the text line, people yelling at us like, you know, you guys always defend him and stuff. I'm like, I don't think that's true. I think that we just have had a little fun with Jared because he seems a little bit obsessed, right?
Yes.
But, I think it's totally fair in this instance. First of all, when you give up a big punt return.
Exactly.
As Vrabel said, a punt team was bleepy yesterday. That's on him.
Yep.
And then, I mean, that situation to me, like, he's got to be – I don't think the head coach should have to transition to you know. And that's something I think you should lean on your special teams coordinator to be like, yeah, guys, we're not touching this. There's no – we're not getting a return. It's a short field. There's no benefit.
Get
out
of the way. There's
nothing
positive that can happen if we catch this ball. Nothing.
Other than, yeah, good job. You caught it.
Way to go. You caught it, and now we have to take a knee on the 5-yard line.
So, I mean, to me, I Vrabel took responsibility. He is the head coach. Everything goes to him, so that's fine. But I think that's something that – I think it's reasonable to expect your special teams coordinator to be able to see the situation and bark it out. Okay, get away from the ball.
Yeah. We'll have a lot to get to on the Titans front today. We'll take your thoughts on all of it. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Joe, we ended the show yesterday with a take from a caller that got me thinking about what could be coming here for the Titans. And I think it's a very interesting discussion that we kind of ended the show with yesterday. We'll get more into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6 o'clock on the road against Liberty. Pre-game beginning at 4:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio. Brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, we had a caller yesterday that we ended the show with talking about Levis, if he gets in, the opportunity for the Titans to see what they have and make a decision on him as a quarterback as they move forward here, to which we both kind of responded at the end of the show, like, how much are they really going to learn about Levis if he gets in there? So let's break down the situation. Tannehill's hurt, a high ankle sprain. He's going to be out, we think, a few weeks. So depending on what the Titans do during that time, Tannehill could be back. He could be back as a starting quarterback, and you could get, I don't know, two or three looks at Will Levis if he's the one playing. Or, I mean, things could go a different direction, and they decide to go with Levis the rest of the season because the season is essentially lost at that point, and you're seeing what you have at the quarterback position. Either way, let's assume that Levis gets significant playing time as they move forward here. What is fair? What is unfair, do you think, in terms of evaluating him, his performance, and kind of how that sets the Titans up for their future here when we get to the evaluation part of Will Levis if he gets in there this year? Because I do think there are some Titans fans who think, okay, well, if you get him in this year and he doesn't play well, then you just go draft another quarterback in the first round
next
year.
Yeah. I agree with – we referred to this yesterday, the Kaharski, this is going to be like the final word on him. I agree that it shouldn't be looked at that way, but it's an opportunity to get information and to let him improve and learn. You know, look, I don't think – I'll say this. They're absolutely all in on winning. So, there's not a coach or player in there who's like, yeah, man, 4-13, we get a sweet draft pick. No one is. So – yeah, I think the choice is also going to be about, okay, Willis Levis, who gives us a better chance to win. To me, based on, again, watching Malik Willis the other day, although there are some things you could do with him that could make it difficult on defenses, I would hope that Levis would be the answer, but I don't know if he is, you know? If that's how they look at it and they pick Willis, who is QB2, does that also mean you go draft the next quarterback? I don't think so, but it's not a great comment on Levis. I've totally rejected up until now this whole, like, you know, this is a terrible look for that pick that he's behind Willis. It's just right. How circumstances have played out. But now I think it kind of comes to the forefront, like, okay, you don't think he's ready to go now? So what's fair if he does play is I think you get an idea. It's not like you're going to have no idea. I mean, if he goes out there and looks terrible and it looks like Willis did last year, I mean, that changed all our opinions on Willis, right?
Sure.
You know, if it's really bad, then okay, then it means something. If it's really good, it means – I mean, everything means something. But, yeah, I don't think that this is – I would assume he'd be somewhere in the middle there where he probably makes some good plays, you see the talent, and then he probably makes some rookie mistakes. And then if that's the case, okay. Well, you got a little bit of a head start on things, and now here it is. It's his show next year.
Yeah, like I think – I mean, obviously, Tannehill's injury changes things a lot. Like, we were talking last week about the Titans – they're trying to win. They're trying to do everything they can to win. At the time, they're 2-3. You're trying to get to 3-3 by the bye week and hang in there in a divisional race. And look, I think Vrabel and the Titans are still trying to hang in there in a divisional race. It's become, in my opinion, a whole lot harder if Ryan Tannehill is going to miss some time. And quite frankly, like, I just don't know that they're very good even with Ryan Tannehill. So the idea of them hanging in the division and competing for a playoff spot right now, to me, seems pretty far-fetched. That doesn't mean that they're going to stop trying to do that at the moment. So maybe they do get to the end of this, and they come to the conclusion that Tannehill's not ready to go against Atlanta and that Malik Willis gives them the best chance to win. I do think if that's the conclusion that they come to, it's fair to look around and say, okay, like the preseason's one thing because Levis got hurt and he couldn't play in the last two preseason games. And that's two-thirds of your evaluation right there in terms of games. He played against Chicago, and that was it. So when you get to the end of the preseason and Malik Willis is QB2, number one, I thought Willis did some good things in the preseason, and we saw some improvement there. But number two, the other part of that is, okay, well, Levis was hurt. So how much of an evaluation of him did you really get? If we get to this point, and like you said, they get to the conclusion by the Atlanta game that Malik Willis gives them the best chance to win, that would worry me a little bit about Will Levis. I mean, at the end of the day, you're talking about 2 months into his NFL career, so there's still plenty of time for him to grow and get better and all those things. But I would hope that if you moved up to draft Will Levis where he was drafted, and if you believe that he could be your franchise quarterback moving forward, I would hope he's in a spot right now where he gives you a better chance to win than what we saw on Sunday from Malik Willis and what we've seen pretty much every time when Malik Willis has gotten into an actual NFL football game.
Yeah.
If he's not, that would worry me.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, I could see the counter to this from coaches. I don't know if this is the case, but I could see the counter being, well, you also don't want to throw someone out if they're not ready. One thing to keep in mind on this is reps. Reps are huge.
Sure.
Reps. So, Anthony Richardson, C.J. Stroud, first team reps, all preseason, everything, all the reps, right? I mean, I guess Stroud, maybe Stroud Mills, I don't know. Did they have a little bit of?
I think it was pretty much Stroud.
Pretty much it was Stroud, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much Richardson, right? So all first team reps, first all through this time. That is a lot. That's all that working with your first team offense. That's a ton of work. Levis, none of that. Not only that, not only did Levis not get that, Levis is splitting the second team reps. It's a right. really, I mean, it's kind of a not great situation, you know, for him in terms of usually if you have like this sort of, you know, starter who's on his way out or whatever and you bring in the rookie, usually at least the rookie gets all the second team reps. Well, you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah.
it's a really kind of interesting situation. It's not great for him.
If they didn't have Willis, let's, you know, in an ideal scenario, like what normally happens in this situation, a team's got a starter and they draft their quarterback of the future. Well, usually that quarterback of the future is the backup. And let's say, like, Levis didn't get hurt. He would have played three quarters in every preseason game, at least. Maybe the whole game in some cases.
Exactly. Right. So, like it's – I mean, and it all goes back to, wow, interesting. A team drafted a QB in the third round and then in the second round.
Right.
It's just – you don't see it. So they did, and Vrabel talked about this yesterday. Charles London talked about it too. I mean, they've created like these Monday sessions where they kind of get them both going because they both have done work with the show team.
Yes.
But they've created these extra reps to get them like a little bit more like work with their offense and with some of the regulars and things like that, like post-practice Monday. So that's, you know, just to try to get a little bit more work. But it's a huge difference between the work he's gotten and these other rookies for sure, right?
Yeah.
So if he does play, if he plays against Atlanta, his preparation in terms of reps, and there's no better preparation. I mean, the best preparation to play is to play, but the you got to have the reps. Like, he'll be like Richardson or Stroud in, like, week two of the preseason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now, granted, he'll at least have had, like, this week, and then he'll have had a game plan week to get ready. But it's something to keep in mind with this situation. And this is where – and that is something that could fuel Vrabel or – Kim Kelly, who we're saying, see, he just don't want to throw him out there too early. So that whether that's really what it is or not, that's probably what would be said. If Willis starts, that's what they'll say. Maybe that's exactly what it is. Maybe that's spin, and they are concerned, and he's just not doing, you know, they're not seeing what they want to see.
Well, the one thing, though, that if I'm a Titans fan, if that's the way they go, that would just upset me to death is, like, Malik Willis – regardless of the improvement that he's made, that I think everybody can see that there's at least been some. There's been one thing that's been a consistent problem with him that doesn't look like it's getting any better, and that is the ability to just make a decision and get rid of the football. He sits there and he holds on to it forever. And, I mean, the offensive line is bad. I think he made the offensive line look way worse on Sunday just because of his inability to make a decision and throw the football. Like, I would feel confident, based on what I have seen from Will Levis, that that's not going to be a problem. Like, Will Levis is not going to sit back there and, you know, pitch a tent, hold on to the football, trying to wait for somebody to get open. I just don't know how much you can operate your offense if your quarterback is unwilling to make a decision and get rid of the football.
Yeah.
No, and I don't think that would be a problem with Levis.
Yeah. I agree. It's very different. You know, Levis, you might have the quick – you know, whatever, wrong read, and it's a pick, you know.
Could be pick six, yeah.
But I can't disagree with that. Josh Dubow from AP, Teresa was sharing this yesterday. Malik Willis has been sacked on 17.5% of his career dropbacks. That's the second highest rate for any quarterback with 50-plus pass attempts in the last 30 seasons.
Right.
So only Luke Falk is hired. He was at 18. That's a high number.
So, yes, in some ways that's not a commentary on the offensive line. But that's also on him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's an extremely high number.
Yeah, no. And there are times, there have been times, like you said, it's just as simple as just taking too much time. And he's also run himself into some of the sacks, too. So, and he got out of a couple the other day that no one else on this roster is going to get out of.
Yep.
But still, you get sacked that much in that short period of time, it's not great.
Santa in Portland on the text line says, write it down. Joe Rexroad clearly states the best preparation to play is to play, thus aligning himself with the pro preseason supporters.
No.
This is from Santa in Portland on the text line.
No, I'm saying the best preparation to play is to play games like the Atlanta game. Santa, nice job, though. You guys are always ready to pounce on me.
More preseason football. We need more of it.
No, but but in all seriousness, like, it certainly would have helped him.
Sure.
Absolutely. Just to get out there. Tannehill?
We're coming around.
I don't know. Yeah.
615.
They should have played Tannehill behind this offensive line more. I think that's totally what they should have done, guys.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans quarterback position. Which way should they go? Will Levis? Malik Willis? If they go Willis, what does that tell you about Levis? Got a lot of your thoughts to get to on the text line. We'll continue the discussion next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keiser here with you on this Tuesday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Lots of questions on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on Will Levis and the Titans' willingness to play him. Gover on the text line says, if Levis doesn't start, it tells you the Titans don't want to repeat the same mistake they made with Willis last year, and that's a good thing. Others on the text line asking,
And with Rand Carthon and Vrabel and the Titans hesitate to put Levis out there based on the quality of the offensive line in front of him. What do you make of all that?
Yes. I understand that idea on not wanting to get, you know, someone hurt on the O-line. But, look, again, like I said to Craig, I mean, I think this decision will be who gives the Titans the best chance to win, and I think that's what it'll be. You know, I really do. Like they really, really want to win, really don't want this to go to 5-12 and what comes with that. So, your offensive line is what it is. I mean, even if you have a great offensive line in this league, your quarterback's going to get hit a lot, right? I mean, like, there is not an offensive line in this league that just puts the quarterback in an oxygen chamber and he's never hit. I mean, you get hit more behind this one than others, but I don't think that'll be a thing. And here's what I'd say to Gover. Malik Willis last year was not a 24-year-old who had played 2 years in an NFL offense. He was a quarterback who had played in, to me, the most paint-by-numbers, not preparing you for the NFL offense that there is in college football.
Shout out to Hugh Freeze.
Yes. And that's just a huge difference between the two. It's not the thing. Before the Titans changed this year to Tim Kelly's offense, if they still had the Downing, LaFleur, Arthur Smith offense, that's exactly the offense that Will Levis was playing in at Kentucky. But either way, there's still a lot of the same concepts. It's you're not looking at the sideline before every play to get the protections and the checks and all that stuff. I mean, he should be a lot more ready, and I think he is, than Willis was last year.
Right. And I guess the question is, I mean, Willis, to his credit, I don't from this standpoint, if they went Willis, I don't have the same concerns from last year that we talked about. I mean, Willis got in there last year, and it felt like half the playbook, if not more, they couldn't run. Like, they were just limited in what they can do, and they didn't want to ask him to do too much of things that he couldn't handle. Like, I do feel like in the new offense, and based on some things we saw in the preseason, that they'd have a little bit more open to that this year. Like, he would be able to run more of what they want him to do. And maybe you could tailor a specific game plan to Willis that could make him pretty effective and that could make a big difference in the game against Atlanta. I don't know. But Levis, to your point, like I feel like he's the same way. Like, he should be ready to go and to be able to handle a full playbook of what they're asking him to do.
Yeah. And look, I mean, Willis is there too. And that's, again, he's ahead of Levis right now. And before Levis got hurt, I mean, they were both running the same stuff,
right,
in camp. And Willis, again, made tremendous improvements. So it did not look great the other day. Thrown into a game, you got to be ready. But it would be a lot different for Willis, you know, if he obviously had a week to have the game plan tailored to him, you know, for sure. But I just, at this point, I would think that beyond the get a look at the future, because I do think Will Levis is a starting quarterback next year. I think that you, at this point, mid-October, he's been healthy, you know, since the beginning of the season. The rep situation hasn't been great, but I would think that they'd feel comfortable enough to give it a shot.
Right. So, I mean, the interesting part about this to me from the Levis standpoint is how much improvement has he been able to make, right? Like, you get to this time of year, and they just don't get reps. Like, we've talked about that. I mean, I think it's smart by the Titans to create that Monday scenario that Vrabel was talking about to try to get them at least a little bit of work and develop a quarterback that way. But, you know, Levis playing real football, he hadn't done that in a while. So what would that look like if he was thrust into an NFL game to start against the Falcons? I don't know. I mean, the good news is, and you never want your quarterback to get hurt, but honestly, like, the good news is for the Titans, if Tannehill was going to get hurt at some point, from a timing standpoint to get your next quarterback ready, it's pretty good timing. Just having the bye week and that extra week to prepare. Like, that's, I guess, the silver lining if this was going to happen, where at least you've got a couple weeks here to get either Willis or Levis going before the Atlanta game.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. He had Charles London yesterday. They had the assistant, so basically there's no more media rest of the week. You know, obviously it's the off week.
Yep.
But they had Vrabel and they had assistants, and after we all talked to Charles London, QB coach, TD's like, have a good week off. And it was like, yeah, you think? Week off, huh?
You think that's what's happening?
Yeah, there's a lot of work. And what's really interesting is obviously Vrabel said exactly what I thought he'd say yesterday, which is, yeah, you know, it'll be one of those two guys, well, you know, not. But what about, like, how do they handle that internally this week? Like, is it like, okay, you guys are competing to see who starts the next game? And obviously, as of next week, you have to have that decision made at the beginning of the week, and you have to – that quarterback has to get all the first-team reps. You have to do it that way. You have to. Like, there is no – so someone's getting all the first-team reps next week. Are they told, like, today, tomorrow? Okay, hey, it's going to be Will. It's going to be Malik. You know?
Well,
I don't know.
Also, like, in an ideal scenario, you'd want to get work in with, you know, like DeAndre Hopkins and NWI and people who are going to be out there on the field. But it is the bye week, and I would imagine, like, at some point pretty soon this week, they're all going off and doing bye week stuff.
I don't think Hopkins is hanging around to play catch with Will Levis.
I don't think so either. So
just like when, you know, like when Kyle Phillips sat down on the bench, like, yeah, I'm going to go over here.
I'm just going to leave. See you later. Oh, that was incredible. Hayden from Springfield on the text line. Do you think that Vrabel's ego is killing this team? Personally, when Vrabel first came to Tennessee, I thought he'd be the one to bring us the Super Bowl, but now that John is gone, and with Amy clearly picking Vrabel over John, I'm worried Mike might be a little over his head and might bring this team down more. Want to know your thoughts. Thanks. This is from Hayden from Springfield. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that Vrabel's ego, or, you know, public persona, whatever you want to call it,
it's taking a hit.
Well, this is what
happens when you lose.
Exactly. Clark Lee, they win it like, oh, man, he's such a smart, such a cool guy. I love it. And when they lose, I want to hear this nerd talk about all this nerdy stuff. Like, be a football coach. You know, like whatever your traits are, they're bad traits if you're losing, and they're great traits if you're winning. Dan Campbell right now is like, oh, that guy's so inspirational. But, you know, wasn't that long ago, it was some goofball talking about eating kneecaps.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to answer the question, Hayden, I don't think his ego is killing this team. Now, is Mike Vrabel good at personnel? I don't know. It's hard to not look to, and again, he was never on his staff, but you look at Belichick and what's going on up there. Yeesh. That's not fair to put that on Vrabel, but I'm just saying it's you can see how your thoughts would go there, and and that's a good example of how it can go bad. These coaches all want that, but in way more cases than not, it does not work out well when you do. And I understand there's a GM here, but, you know, Vrabel clearly has a lot more say personnel. But you know what? As we've talked about before, how many of those John Robinson decisions that were turned out to be terrible were just in the face of what Vrabel was saying? Some. A.J. Brown, for sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, some of these other choices they made, Vrabel had quite a bit of input. So the ego and all this stuff, I understand, like, you know, I think it's fair to say maybe go be a little bit more open to getting fresh ideas and people outside the organization. I think that's fair. How he comes across personally, it pisses people off. I get it, especially when things are going poorly, but I don't think that's like killing the team. What's killing the team is that the roster is not very good. Right. I'll start there.
Yeah. I mean, look, we keep talking about, you know, the Titans are trying to win, and I get it. I'm not convinced if Ryan Tannehill is fully healthy and their entire roster is fully healthy that they're good enough to win, right? I'm just not convinced.
Based
of that
on six games,
anymore. It's hard to feel that.
They've
had
a couple good ones.
Yeah. I mean, they've had some games this year where they've looked really good. They've had some moments and some losses this year where they've looked good. But the whole picture isn't very pretty. And that's the thing. Up until this point, they have been relatively healthy. Like, it's not like they've had some rash of injuries. I know that Burks hasn't been available as often as you'd like, and now Tannehill's hurt, so maybe it's starting to go the other way. But, like, on the defensive side of the ball, they've been pretty healthy for the most part. Like, it's not like this. This is not 2021 where you could easily just turn around and say, well, I mean, half the team's hurt. That's why things started to fall apart. But it's just, I don't know if this team is very good.
No.
Now you're talking about putting rookie quarterback in or a second year that has not gone well to this point.
Yeah, the health situation has been fine. Everybody gets injured, but this has not been terrible. And the biggest injury is directly because you didn't do a good enough job addressing the offensive line. Keith from Bowling Green, I've been trying to respond to you, and it won't let me. I don't know why. He asked about Burks, by the way. So based on what Vrabel said yesterday, I think Burks will be back for the Atlanta game. He said they're even hopeful he can do some stuff this week. And based on the timeline, if he wasn't going to be ready for the Atlanta game, they would have put him on IR, I think. So that based on their not putting him on IR, they must have thought for sure he'd be so back for this game. So I think he will be.
And then the question is, how impactful is he going to be if he is? Which is a question I have no idea how to answer right now for Treylon Burks and the Titans. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. There's something, Joe, over the last couple of days that I think it's been pretty easy to gather from Titans fans as to what they want moving forward. And my question is, do the Titans have any appetite whatsoever to do it? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Would you consider trading assets at the deadline and prioritizing a draft pick in next year's draft?
I think we would always consider trying to strengthen the team, whether that's right now, this week, or in the future. Absolutely.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday discussing the upcoming trade deadline. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Lots of texts rolling in this morning, so we appreciate that. Here on Robbie and Rex Road in the text line. Really appreciate your participation.
Even the ones that I can't totally make up and say bad words, but I don't understand that. They're not in English.
There are those too.
I tried to respond to somebody, and it's not letting me. I want to make sure I can actually say my answer. And, of course, now as I say this, I can't find it. So, never mind. Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. So, Joe, one thing that's always a little bit difficult to gauge, especially in the aftermath of a disappointing loss, is how much of the fan base that we hear from on Monday morning is actually representative of how the fan base as a whole feels. And obviously yesterday there's a ton of frustration after the Titans lose to Baltimore. They fall 2-4. The quarterback's now hurt. Some people have been clamoring for a change at quarterback anyway, and now you got Tannehill down with an injury. It's difficult to really gauge that most weeks. One thing I'm pretty comfortable saying, there's a very significant portion of the Titans fan base that looks at this team at 2-4, and they want to see some changes. Whether that's the quarterback moving forward, even if Tannehill is healthy when he comes back, they want to see, probably in most cases, Levis, see what he's got. Certainly, the deadline, the trade deadline coming up here in a couple of weeks, was a big talking point on our show yesterday, and a lot of fans want to see some moves made before the deadline to try and get some draft capital back, be that Danico Autry. We saw some people float out, like, what could you get for DeAndre Hopkins on the text line? I mean, even the Derrick Henry discussion on the text line yesterday of what could you get for him by the deadline. So the fans want changes. My question is, like, do the Titans, the people in the building with the Titans, do they actually have any appetite whatsoever into doing that? They have one more game that they're going to play before the trading deadline actually comes. Do Rand Carthon, Mike Vrabel, and the decision makers with the Titans organization, is there actually a legitimate appetite to look around and saying, you know what, it's time to consider making some changes, maybe making some deals by the deadline to bring in some more draft capital? Or at 2-4 with a team and especially a head coach that is obsessed with trying to win and doing everything they can do to win, do we feel like maybe that's an appetite that the fan base has, but that the Titans decision makers aren't going to be willing to actually do it by the time the deadline comes around here?
Hey, great question. It's a great question. Because there are a lot of guys in this team who aren't here for a rebuild. You can probably find any team out there in any sport where there's a rebuild and there's at least a couple veterans who make a lot of money and are getting up there and are like, I don't want to rebuild. You know, we've talked about it with some guys here with the Predators. But if you do move anybody, then you're telling everybody, yeah, guys, punting.
Yeah,
punt. Punting on the season. Thank you. And sometimes saying things to your team, go back to Amy Adams Strunk last year. Hey, I just need to fire John Robinson here on a random Tuesday, you know, right after all the Philly fans are making fun of us for trading A.J. Brown.
Yeah, yelling at me in the owner's box.
Right. So yeah, I think that had a negative effect on the team. I'm not blaming that for the whole losing streak, but I think the next week, which was the biggest loss of them all, could be tied somewhat to that. But look, I mean, you have to talk about it this week for sure. Now, Caroline asked Vrabel about the trading deadline, and then Vrabel answered, "We'd love to strengthen the team, like in any way." He basically evaded the question. But I think it's got to be a discussion this week. Do you tie it to the outcome? I mean, do you say, you know, do you make calls and then you say, okay, and we'll do this if we lose to the Falcons, you know? Or maybe it's off if we beat the Falcons. Here's our deal, contingent on us losing and getting to 2-5.
Right. Like, I wouldn't do it that way, but like I can see if you're a Vrabel or a Carthon, like if they win against Atlanta, you're first off, you get a week where you don't have to play, and that's a week for Ryan Tannehill to heal up a little bit more. If you beat Atlanta and you move to 3-4, presumably without Tannehill, I mean, that would be another week for Tannehill to get his ankle closer to being back and ready to go. Like, I could see where if you're the Titans, you say, well, all you got to do is hang around, and then you get your quarterback back and you give yourself a chance. Again, I wouldn't approach it that way, but one thing I'm pretty confident in, a lot of this fan base wants and expects change, and I'm not sure that I expect it. Like, I understand, like, people wanting it, and I think you could make a good argument for the Titans to start to trade some people off and to generate some of those assets that they just don't have right now. I have my doubts that the Titans are actually going to do that by the time the deadline rolls around.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, if I had to guess, I'd guess no. Again, in other leagues, it's like, who's a buyer, who's a seller? In the NFL, most people are sitters.
Right.
And there's a few teams that buy and sell. But Diana Russini did throw the Titans in as she was talking about teams that were, you know, potentially going to be active at the deadline. I think you have to – I mean, obviously, certainly, you know, like Rand Carthon, I mean, he'll be on the phone with a lot of people, right, and see what you could possibly get. I mean, you have a 1, a 2, a 4, and 3-7s, and you have so many needs on this roster, which goes back to all the drafts, especially two of them, 20 and 21, that were so bad, and those should be some of your best players right now. So I think you have to – if you're the Titans, you wish the trading deadline was like 2 weeks later, you know, and then you'd have a little bit better sense of things. But I think you have to at least embrace the possibility of this. And it's possible – I mean, you could trade someone and, you know, like who'd the Vikings trade? The Vikings traded someone – pretty good. Or I guess, well, the Lions traded Hockenson to the Vikings last year, then went on a tear and almost made the playoffs still. I mean, you know, you could trade an area of surplus. Not a ton of those with this team, you know.
Yeah.
But, well, we've talked about Autry.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could trade Autry and you could still be pretty darn good up front if everybody else is healthy and Tart comes back and everything. And you know, it doesn't mean you're completely giving up necessarily. I mean, I think you got to be open to all possibilities right now.
Ron on the text line says, it doesn't matter what quarterback we put in, they're going to get crushed with this offensive line. So why not save Levis and Willis's careers by not starting them, bringing in another quarterback like Mariota? He's used to a garbage offensive line. And in the meantime, we make moves to improve the offensive line this team the following year.
Yeah, bring in a fourth quarterback. That's some great GMing right there. Let's just bring in a tomato can to come in and get killed. Hey, would you like to come in here and just get absolutely just smashed to the windshield like a bug? What do you think? Come on in.
Luke Falk, come on back, baby.
I mean, maybe Petit Frere. And by the way, watching the game again, Petit Frere, I would not say he had a good game.
Yeah.
But maybe he'll be an upgrade over Dillard, you know, with a full, you know, week to prepare for a game and all that stuff, and they'll be okay. I mean, Skoronski is back. You know, I mean, it's potentially not the worst offensive line of all time.
Well, and then, I mean, Atlanta's not necessarily there's no gigantic pass rushing threats on that team, unless, you know, you're scared of Bud Dupree.
Well, yeah.
Bud Dupree revenge tour?
Yeah, could be. Clowney got sacks on him. I remember what I wasn't able to answer. It's not going through. But someone asked, If Levis gives them a better chance, then why wouldn't they have put him in Sunday? Well, he was inactive.
Right.
So Willis is QB2. He's active. Levis was inactive. So it wasn't even an option. Now, but you could still then answer me back, okay, so why would Levis leapfrog Willis at QB2? It's a fair question. Like, what's the reasoning there? To me, some of the reasoning there is that Willis's performance, I think, can be part of the reasoning there.
Yeah. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what's up, Robbie? What's up, Joe?
What's up,
buddy?
Yeah, that game Sunday, Joe. Titans had a chance to get back into that game. That penalty Big Jeff got was a killer, and Tannehill getting hurt and bringing Malik in, that was a bad situation, I thought, to bring Malik in. It seems like he comes in situations that are just horrible for him, man. I mean, especially with the offensive line. I don't think, like you said, by the trade deadline, I don't see them making a lot of trades or whatever, whatnot. But, Joe, really, they are in a rebuild. They don't have a lot of playmakers. Tannehill goes to Hopkins too much. They're missing a lot. It ain't just the offensive line. It's defense. It's secondary. It's playmakers on offense. I mean, it's a lot of things they could need. And do they need more draft picks? Most definitely. But, hey, man, y'all have a good day. Talk to you soon. See you, Robbie. See you, Joe. Talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, Mark. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, buddy. And I agree. He's right.
Yeah. This is
– it's not just O-line.
You mentioned – it got me thinking. Like, when you're talking about trading away, like, positions of surplus,
yeah.
I'm like, well, who would that be? Yeah. Like, what exactly is that?
They got two really good running backs.
They do. Trade Derrick Henry? That's the other thing.
Well,
I think there are, and I heard Chase and Big Joe talking about this yesterday too. I think there's a lot of inflation of what they could get for Derrick Henry out there. Like this, I think, this is just me.
People are way out of bounds.
I think they'd
that.
Be lucky to get a fourth rounder. I really do.
Yes.
And I think there are some people that think I'm just nuts for that. But I think the Titans would be lucky to get a fourth round pick back for Derrick Henry.
I agree. I would guess a fifth. I would guess a fifth for him. So that's just what it is. Again, you find me the team. You know, Big Joe came in here yesterday, and we talked about it too on the show. And the intriguing option there to me is the Eagles, just because the way they run their offense with you throw him in there with everything else they have going on. I mean, first of all, just brotherly shove, he'd probably just throw him into the end zone from like the 40.
Brother.
You know, he's like, although he might like break his spine coming, you know, but there's just so few teams out there that are going to give up a ton and then do what's necessary to make it worth the value. Like the value for Derrick Henry is your offense is built around him.
Yeah, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans coming up next. Caroline Fenton normally joins us every Tuesday morning at 7. She will join us Wednesday morning this week, so looking forward to that. We're going to get into Tennessee and Alabama coming up in the next hour as well. But next, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Do you think the Titans will actually consider making some trades by the time the deadline rolls around? More next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.